Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hi, and welcome to New Shooter Canada, episode number 52. Tonight we have, I'm one of your hosts, by the way, Kelly Lynn, and we have also with us Thomas Donnelly, but George is missing in action this week. Tonight we have what we did in Guns in the News, and also we're going to be talking about Firearms Outlet. Thomas went there today and talked to the guys. They're going to be actually coming to the charity shoot and helping us out there. They're going to be a sponsor, and the guys are coming out to shoot with us. So he thought he'd go and drop by and chat with them and talk to them about guns. So, Thomas, how are you?
Good. How you keeping?
I'm okay. I'm
busy
good.
Day?
It was a long day today. Long week, long couple of weeks and all that. So, yeah.
Long weekend, too, because you guys went to that run.
Yep, we went to the Army run. That was yesterday. It seems like it was last week. It was yesterday. The Army run, it raises money for the Soldier On Foundation, which is awesome because that's going to be our charity of choice at the charity shoot in June of next year.
So you got no sleep on Saturday, then you had to run a 5-kilometer trip on Sunday.
Yep. So, yeah, because of the fact that we were leaving from Kingston, we were heading to Ottawa, and we had to be there relatively early because the opening ceremonies start at about, well, they were supposed to start at 7:20. It's the military. They started at 7:20. But we had to get there, get our stuff all together, meet some people and that as well. So we wanted to be there for 7, so we left Kingston at 5, but meant we had to get up at 4 a.m. to get there, so...
That's a good cause.
Yeah, it was very, very good. And we turned around, we did the run, and we came right back again because it was the general membership meeting for the Frontenac Gun Club. So they were voting in some new directors and that. So Kevin wanted to be back there for that because we had a friend of ours that is we were going to vote for to get on to the directors or executive.
And did they get elected?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Yep, same.
Now, yep. Kevin's a director at the Brockville Club, though, isn't he?
Correct. So we belong to Frontenac, we belong to Brockville, and we belong to Grenville. And actually, I think next month, when Napanee is opening up their membership again, I will have the membership there. And that we had it there as well. We let it drop, but... We thought it's probably a good idea to be members there again, just because of the fact that our clubs sometimes do things on the same days, and if we want to go out shooting and we're not participating in whatever matches that they're having, it's always good to have a backup.
It's not a bad idea. Now, the Grenville, like, do you have to pay an initiation fee at the Grenville Club or just a straight fee?
No, well, we're members there, so we can drop in. Once we have our membership paid, we can drop in any time, right?
Yeah, because a lot of clubs, they want an initial initiation fee. So if you let your membership lapse, they hit you up for the initiation fee again. Others, they'll let it slide if you miss a year.
Yeah, Grenville doesn't do that, so. Yep.
Yeah, I belonged to three at one point. I belonged to Northumberland, I belonged to Union, and I belonged to Port Perry. Now I just belong to Port Perry. I don't want to get into Peterborough because it's an Ipswich club. And they've got multiple ranges, and Rakowski and JT shoot there. So if I want to get back into Ipswich, I got to join the Peterborough club because my club doesn't have any of that stuff.
Yeah. It's a good idea to try at a couple of different ranges.
It's a nice backup. Like you've said, I've actually gone to one range to take guest shooting and forgot that there was an event going on and I couldn't take the guest shooting, so they'd take them over to the other club. So it's nice having the backup.
And you can do as you said, you can do stuff at one range where you can't do it at another range and that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So that being said, what you doing guns this week?
I didn't do a lot of shooting myself. I did speak to Mark from Trigger Wholesale, who's a distributor. He's been on the road the last few weeks buying stock for his 2016 inventory, and he promised promised to ship out the Mendoza Puma rifle for us this week.
Okay.
Oh, he's been out of town. You know, okay. He's got to travel all. He goes over to Europe and all over Canada, so he has been busy. But he messaged me today, and he promised to get it out.
Well,
he's so busy. Like, the company's growing so rapidly, and he's launched a lot of new items. They're now carrying the Bulgaria rifles. Mm-hmm. I actually remember reading an accuracy test on those. It was a Gun Digest magazine last week, mm-hmm. and it got some great accuracy and trigger reviews. And he's now going to be stocking NSI and Black Hill ammo as well. I've never seen the Black Hills ammo up here, so I'm interested to see how that stuff performs. They also have a new line of, I guess it's Uzkon, U-Z-K-O-N shotgun line, is getting a lot of attention nationally. Their first shipment sold out really fast, but don't worry, they have another shipment of about 500 more units coming in at the end of this week. And it's a full line, they carry a full line of value price, single shot shotguns, pumps, and semis. They come with 5 chokes, 3-year warranty, and put their chamber for the 2, 3 quarter, and the 3 inch. He is having them design a 3.5-inch model. So it'll be interesting to see what they come out okay. with.
Oh, just hold on a second. Do you have any prices or anything on those?
No, just Trigger Wholesale is, I believe, selling them. Mm-hmm. Because, not Trigger Wholesale, Firearms Outlet. Because Trigger Wholesale is actually a distributor. He's not a retailer.
Yep.
So he doesn't, any prices he puts are the suggested price. So if you want to see what the actual street prices, I would just contact your local retailer to see what they do have in stock. I did get some prices when I was in some of the products that we'll talk about later.
Okay, perfect.
At Firearms Outlet. But he also has the new Daya Arm shotgun, and it will be, they're semis, and they are chambered 3.5-inch, and he should have some of those in stock in about 30 days. So it sounds like Mark's been a very busy boy lately, and I'm glad to hear that the new distributor is having such a successful year, and we hope to get our hands in some of these shotguns that we can also test and review too. Uh-huh. You know, before Bill C-68 came out, came into effect, my local gun shop told me that he had 27 distributors across Canada to order from. Uh-huh. Within 2 years after C-68, he was down to 3. It just about wiped out the distributors in the country. But fortunately, Canadians have embraced shooting sports, and the industry has rebounded, and there's at a phenomenal rate of growth, and there's a lot more distributors out there. Uh-huh. So it's getting better for shooters compared to what it was 20 years ago. So it's nice to see somebody being so successful in the firearms industry these days.
Yeah, it's nice. And he's another guy that's going to help us out with the charity shoot too. So it's nice that, we can talk about him.
He's offered some really good stuff. I'm not going to say what it is, but mm-hmm. there's going to be some really good stuff on the prize table from Mark and Trigger Wholesale. So,
yeah.
And I think what we're going to do with the goody-goody stuff is that we're not going to have it set up for if you win a match. I think it'll be with your ticket. Everybody that attends has a chance at the good stuff. We're not going to save it for people that win the different divisions.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. But that's what I was thinking. What about you? What you doing guns this week, Kelly?
This week?
Last week
we went down to Ohio and did the counter ambush course with Brian and Jason from Valkyrie Defense. That was awesome. We basically we shot on the Saturday. We started at about 8 a.m. and it was raining, and it rained and it rained and it rained and it rained, and we shot until about 5 o'clock, I think it was, and it continued raining until 5 p.m. But it was lots of fun. It was pistol, and we got to open carry in Ohio. Kevin got to open carry both. He had both a right side and a left side holster, so he went up George on that one.
I saw that. You had 2 M&Ps on each hip.
Yeah, he did. Going back to the counter ambush course, it was very well done. Brian and Jason know their stuff, but it was also Kevin and I were wondering about how we could actually, you know, how it would matter for us as Canadians, because we're not able to conceal carry, we're not able to open carry here in Canada. And that, but they taught us some great techniques and things like that, so that in case, for example, if we're at home, we might be able to use our handguns in order to protect ourselves and our families and that as well. They did some techniques that were surprising to us from the point of view of when we were on our way back. We were listening to one of the other podcasts, Slamfire Radio. They were talking about the Daniel Shaw course that they had. And one of the things that they were doing on Daniel Shaw's course was almost the exact same thing that Brian and Jason did with us. And that is, so we thought it was quite awesome. I learned a lot. I used the Glock 17, and it was, I think I put about 300 to 350 rounds down the barrel. So that was quite a bit. No issues with the Glock at all.
But you did with a 1911, I saw.
Yeah. Yeah. So the next day, we just went out to, they have ranges there that are their own ranges. And this was a range that that Red Ranch had secured for us on the side of a mountain. And it was quite cool. We were hitting like steel gongs, steel things. Anyways, so one of our friends from the Appleseed in Michigan that we did back in March came to visit because he's also in Ohio, and he brought his 1911, and it was the only one that we had issues with. There was one more. We had one Glock that there was issues with.
Was it Peter from the Appleseed?
Yeah, it was Peter. Sorry about that. Yeah, it was Peter. So he brought all of his stuff he thought that we would like to shoot, and he had to bring the 1911 just to say he did. And guess what? It jammed.
What kind of 1911 was it?
I don't know. It was a Ruger, I know, but I don't know which one it was.
What model? Ruger only makes like a standard size and a compact, so I'm just curious the brand. I'm surprised it was a Ruger failed, but
It was the factory mag. He had a couple other mags. It was just the factory mag that was jamming. So
I actually bought a couple of Ruger factory mags, and I ended up sending them back because I was having issues with those mags too.
Mm-hmm. This one was failing to feed, and it kept doing it over and over again. So, yeah. So I open carried in Ohio. I got the Glock 17 transferred, or it started anyways, from Kevin. He's transferring it over to me so that it could be mine. What else did we do? On Saturday, we went to the gun store, SFRC, had some fun there.
You have your own license now, so what did you buy?
I have my own license, and apparently, not apparently, but I've been buying a lot of ammo. So we went through 1,200 rounds on this Saturday for the course.
That's 600 in one day each.
Yeah, well, we were sharing some, and we brought down 1,500 rounds, and we were sharing. So, I used the 9mm. Kevin used it. Stacy used it, and a couple other people used it as well. So we went through 1,200 rounds on Saturday, and then the Sunday as well. So we went through a lot of ammo. So I had a moment when I went into the SFRC on Saturday, and I said to Kevin, I said, how much ammo do we have? And he goes, well, we have a couple of boxes. And when I was thinking about it, I'm going, are those 200? Because normally with Wolf ammo, it's either in thousands or 500 or 250 round boxes. So I was thinking it was 200. And he goes, no, those are 50 round. And I went, oh, God. I said, how much ammo do you want? And he goes, how much are you willing to buy? So I had to buy some more ammo.
So would you buy a case, 250, 500?
No, I just bought 250. Just because, and we weren't shooting pistol. We weren't planning on shooting pistol this weekend. But just, you know, if we go below a certain threshold, it was kind of, oh, we don't have any ammo.
How much do they charge for a case of 250 and the reloaded stuff?
So with tax, it was, I bought some other things too. I bought some stick-on targets and things like that. I think it was actually about $80. That's with tax.
That's not bad.
Yeah, it was not bad.
So that's the plated stuff?
Yeah. So, yep. So, yeah, my full bill came to about $98. I said, this is getting expensive.
That's why people reload.
I said to Kevin, I said, all right, you really do need to start reloading.
Well, like he has to start reloading.
Yeah, well, no, I guess I'll have to at some point, too. Anyways, we got a lot of brass sitting there waiting to be reloaded, so I don't know. So we went to the gun store, and then yesterday we went to, was it yesterday? No, it was still Saturday. After we went to the gun store, we went to the range, we went to Frontenac, and it was the first time that I brought out my rifle in over a month. Yep, month. And I tried the Squirrels Challenge, but it was just...
That's a tight target, those little battleships. That's not an easy target. Like, Stacy, it's cruel with some of these targets you designed.
It was very challenging. And then again, as I said to Stacy, I said, on Facebook, I just messaged, I posted and said, oh, Stacy, you broke me. But, and she goes, oh, I'm sorry, and all this, and as a, being apologetic. And I said, well, it's a challenge. If it was easy, then everybody could do it. So I guess I said, I'm not going to let it beat me. Yesterday, I had some issue. Not yesterday. I keep saying it was yesterday. Saturday, I had some
issues.
It's
Monday.
I know. I had some issues with my rifle, zeroing it in. So zeroing in, it just didn't want to zero in at all. And then I thought I had zeroed it in, and then so we tightened everything up on it, tightened the scopes, tightened everything, and it didn't look like anything needed to be tightened, but apparently it did. So I zeroed it in, and then I did another Squirrels Challenge, and then I was done.
Now, is that the one where you're... the rail is integrated into the stock?
Mm-hmm. So, well, the rail is, yeah. So the rail is integrated into the stock, so, yeah. So, yeah.
I got to get a new stock, because when you guys, George was using my stock at the maple seed, the swivel, like, literally stripped out of the end, so I've actually been looking at new stocks for my 1022. I kind of like those, the Boyd stocks, but they're...
Yeah, I was using Stacy's in Ohio, and then I also saw some at... I went to an Amish gun shop. That was cool.
Really? An Amish gun shop?
Yeah. It was cool. Really cool. This place was huge, and they had some Boyd stocks in there, so I was looking at them, feeling the weight of them. They're really, really, really nice. They're not adjustable, though, so if you have to tweak it and all that...
You can't. Yeah, the only thing you can do is maybe build up the coom, but they still retail for $100, so you can order it from the the U.S. not have to.
So that's
regulated.
Right. So that's a tip for you, because when I was looking at them, as I said, in the Amish gun shop, and they were $120 there. So if you take into the exchange rate of 30%, you know, you'd be far better off just ordering direct from Boyd. I didn't find the prices of stuff down there in the gun shop to be...
No, because they can have a markup because they're ordering it for Boyd himself. They probably get a small dealer discount on it, but and something like that where they're selling them in bulk and they sell them retail for $99, I can't see them having much of a markup. You know what stock I really liked? I like the stock on Edis 1022.
I didn't fire it.
I like the stock, though. I like the purple. It's nice. She's put a lot of money into that gun. It's really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice-looking gun, but I didn't get a chance to fire it. So I asked her next time I'm down, or she's up, if I could fire it. And she said, sure. So I'll have to. But that's it. So I did a little bit of firing at the range on Saturday, and that's it for now.
Oh, sounds like a great weekend, and last weekend sounded awesome.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, so if anybody is thinking about going down and doing the Valkyrie defense courses, they're well worth it. Brian and Jason are awesome. Brian is much taller in person than I thought he'd be.
I was just going to ask you that. Is he as short as he looks compared to Red?
Oh, well, Red's a giant.
I went to give Red a hug when we left Michigan, and I couldn't get my arms around him.
Yeah, and Red was amazing. Him and Cindy and Red and the children were wonderful, and they're great, very hospitable. They were just amazing. Everybody was. We had one guy on the course, Dale. He was wonderful. He just thought that Canadians were awesome. I was telling a story. He kept asking all kinds of different questions about Canada and Canadians and that. We had met at Tim Hortons beforehand, and he had so many questions. He was fascinated by being Canadian. Anyways, so during the course, we had I had some trail mix that I had brought down with me, and it was the President's Choice No Name stuff. So I'm sitting there, and I said, during a break, and I said, anybody want some trail mix? And I asked Dale if he wanted it, and he said, no. He goes, I'm not interested in trail mix. I said, okay. And he goes, is it Canadian? I said, well, yeah. And he goes, oh, I have to have some of this. I'm going, okay. But it was cute. But everybody was very hospitable. And as I said, Jason and Brian knew their stuff, and they taught us some really great techniques. And Red and Cindy were awesome, and I got to see Stacy again, so that was great.
Some girl bonding time.
Yep, we drank apple pie moonshine, if you didn't notice.
Yeah, I got some pretty bizarre texts back from people. George actually put the outtakes on the last show.
I know. I don't think we drank that much apple pie moonshine at that point.
Well, apparently you guys called George and spoke to him for half an hour.
We did later.
And then I got a message giving me heck because I wasn't online. I said, I'm sorry, I don't want to talk to a bunch of drunken people on Skype. I'm on vacation, sorry.
We weren't drunk. Okay, guns in the news. Let's segue to that.
Since we were talking about Rugers, we actually had this article about the new Ruger Precision Rifle in the last episode, but it got pulled because we had too much stuff. But this is from Guns and Ammo. So for those of you who have long sought a rifle that can hit a steel gong at 1,000 yards without breaking the bank, the answer is finally here. Ruger has just introduced the Ruger Precision Rifle. It is a bolt-action, customizable feature, inline recoil path, and it's available in 308, 6.5 Creedmoor, and 243 Winchester. The rifle's inline recoil path from the rear of the receiver to the bust stock removes the need for barrel bedding, leaves a highly accurate cold hammer forged barrel free floated, and the barrel is forged from 410 chromoly and features a 5/8 24 inch thread for if you want to put a suppressor or brake on. I guess it's designed for a suppressor. The stock incorporates an adjustable coom length of pull and can be easily changed, but it locks down for tight mobility during firing. The stock also has quick detach sling mounts and the Picatinny rail for a monopat attachment. And the rifle itself uses an AR-style buffer system, so it doesn't actually have a buffer, but the stock is the same as an AR stock. So standard AR stocks can be used if you want to replace the Ruger stock, but why would you? It's such an adjustable stock. It also has the new multi-magazine interface, which functions with both side and front latching magazines. So you can use two different mags. You can use a DMPMS or the Magpul with front latch. So it's kind of neat having two different latching systems for the mag. So it allows you a little more options on what mags that you want. And the Ruger adjustable trigger goes from 2.25 to 5 pounds, and there's a hex wrench for the pull and weight adjustment, and it's stored in the bolt shroud, which is kind of different. And there's also works as a bolt disassembly tool. As I said, it comes in the three different models. The 308 has a 1 in 10 twist with a 20 inch barrel, and it weighs 9.7 pounds. The 6.5 Creedmoor is a 1 in 8 twist with a 24 inch barrel, and it weighs 10.6 pounds. And the 243 Winchester is a 1 in 7 twist, on one in 7.7 twists, and had a 26-inch barrel, and it weighs 11 pounds. All models were available at a suggested retail price of $1,400, which is dirt cheap. And it was funny, when I was writing this, I was actually listening to Modern Rifleman Radio, mm-hmm. and Ken Kowalski was talking about it. And he said that even with his industry discount, he couldn't build the gun for the price that Ruger is retailing it for. So if you want a precision long-range rifle, it's a great deal. I haven't seen one up here yet, but I'm surprised they'll probably be here within the next 6 months. But it looked really nice.
Do you know who is going to be the distributor for it? Is it going to be...
I'm not sure who the distributor is for Ruger up here. It might be... I'm trying to think. The people in Scarborough, the Winchester people. But we can find out.
Mm-hmm. Might be worth a shot.
I haven't bought a Ruger firearm for quite a while, so... But we'll find out. But okay. any dealer could get it for you, probably.
Probably.
What else is happening in the news?
Okay, so apparently the Niagara Regional Police have arrested Brian Little again. He is the neighbor of Mr. Ian Thompson. He was suspected but never charged with hiring the people who attempted to burn down Ian's house. He was recently arrested and charged with uttering threats and breach of probation. And because of this, the Niagara Regional Police were able to obtain search warrants and search his home. During the search, two air pistols and several rounds of .22 caliber ammunition were found. And so it's a little curious that Ian's house was recently had... 22 long rifle bullet holes in it. But they didn't find, or it doesn't say if they found a rifle or not. Mr. Little is currently under a weapons probation order and under a court order not to communicate with Ian. His next appearance is on September 30th, 2015, so it's going to be in the next few days. Currently, Mr. Little is out on bail, and he resides with a family member who has assured his appearance. So... he has four criminal past convictions with Ian, not including the latest charges, so we don't understand why the family member would assume legal responsibility for him. But apparently they did, so hopefully he will show up on the 30th, and there will be either a trial or sentencing. I don't know what's going to be happening on the 30th, whether it's a trial or not. Now, you had talked to... Ian, and Ian was going to be a guest on our show either tonight or at another point, right, Thomas?
Well, I'm kind of disappointed. We had Ian all set up, and George had to work late, and Kelly had a personal problem she had to tend to, so I was going to record the interview with Ian. My computer kept crashing. My Skype recorder died. I must have kept Ian on the phone for 45 minutes, and I had to let him go. I'm going to have to reschedule. So, Ian, I apologize profusely.
Yeah.
But I did speak to him for about an hour last week, and he had a lot of very interesting information about the actual attack when his house was burnt down and a lot of information about the going-ons of Mr. Little. But we'll save that for Ian to describe when we have him on the show. So, once again, Ian, I apologize for the technical difficulties. We're looking forward to having you on the show again.
Yeah, so we'll rearrange or reschedule the interview with him. He can give us an update on what's happening. He can give us a little bit more information on what's happening on the 30th, and that as well, whether it's actually a hearing or if it's going to be it must be a hearing.
Yeah, it is the hearing.
Yeah. So he's breached his conditions, obviously, because of the fact that he communicated with Ian and... He was uttering death threats.
Well, apparently Ian was up on a ladder changing a light, and he heard he got threats, and then a short time later he heard the shots, and then he saw Mr. Little go down the road. So I guess if he actually had a firearm with him, he disposed of it other than his residence. But the thing that finally got him was that Mr. Little was firing off fireworks in his backyard, and fireworks are a class one explosive, which violates his, and they actually firing them off and shooting them in Ian's house's direction.
Okay.
So I guess he's antagonizing Ian, and that's a violation of his court order. It's still Class 1 fireworks. He's not allowed to have them. And they still didn't respond, and it wasn't until Ian and his girlfriend wrote a letter to the police department. They actually showed up a couple days later with the search warrant. So
okay. He can tell us a little bit about that during our interview and that as well. So, okay. So that's just an update on that, and hopefully, as I said, we will reschedule him within the next little while.
I hope so. I was really looking forward to it because I have a lot of respect for Mr. Thompson, so hopefully get a little more information from him.
And his story has been one that has been followed down in the United States and across the country and that as well, so it would be interesting to hear what the update is on it. So, all right, so you went and you went shopping today. Well,
I didn't buy anything, but I did a lot of window shopping. I played with a lot. I got to play with quite a few toys and fondle a few things. It was very exciting.
Yeah, settle down.
I'll sell no more. I dropped by the new Firearms Outlet in Ajax today, introduced myself to one of our sponsors and participants in the next year's party, the podcaster's charity shoot. I picked a great date.
That was a Freudian slip.
It's been a long day. Long day.
Okay. Sorry.
That's okay. I picked a great day to go see Fred and Bond. Being a Monday afternoon, it was very quiet in the store. Had to mute the cough for a second there.
Okay.
So there was nobody in the store, so I was probably in there for about an hour getting to talk to them. It was a great time to actually meet the guys and handle some of the new firearms they just got in. I fondled a Glock. I actually picked up one of the new 40 Glocks. I think it was the model 35, the 40 caliber. Nice gun. It's drilled and tapped in the top for the optics on it. It was tight, but my hands felt dirty afterwards. It just...
Why?
They don't fit. I can
so even, change the strap.
I did, even with the back strap, it didn't fit. I could hold it in my hand, then I could take the slide, and the gun would still twist in my hand. It just...
Your hands aren't smaller, bigger than mine. I mean, they're not smaller than mine.
I got long, skinny fingers. It just wraps right around, and I just hate that because I'm not getting any support on the inside of my palm, the fingertips and the thumb hits it. That's why the CZ or 1911 fits my hand better, but it depends on your hand. I'm not trashing Glocks. They're great guns. They just don't fit me. It's like wearing a bad pair of underwear. You don't want to have that all day long. It's not going to be comfortable.
I tried, just to segue from this story for just a second, or just to interrupt it. I tried out Stacy's Glocks this weekend, or not this weekend, in Ohio. She has a couple that are pretty small. You can't. They're not legal here in Canada, but they're quite tiny, and I really, really enjoyed them. I thought they were awesome. So, okay, sorry, continue. The Ruger.
Well, the first one I picked up, he's got the new Ruger GP 100, the Match Champion, and this is a departure from their standard GP 100 line. This one actually has a slab-sided barrel, and it's a thin profile. It's Canadianized slab-sided barrel, so it's like 4.1 inch. It's got fiber optic front sights. The grip on it is, the thing I like about the Ruger is the grip is further back than, say, a Smith & Wesson. So you've got more room between your lower finger and the trigger finger. Beautiful grip, solid walnut, all hand checkering on the side. The double action pull on it, similar, very close to a Smith & Wesson. The single action... It's not quite there. It's close, but just not quite as nice compared to a 686. Weight-wise, it was perfect because the front end is so light and the grip is further back. It just balances in the hands so, so nicely. The problem with the Ruger, say, a Smith & Wesson has a leaf spring. The Ruger has a coil spring, so it's a little bit harder to tune, but... a little trigger work. I really like this gun. It was a sweet, sweet revolver. It's got fiber optic front sights. The crown is.
I saw that.
Yeah, the picture where I'm pointing the gun at myself.
Yeah, without the trigger lock on it. Yep. Sorry, I gave him heck before the show.
Well, I wanted to get a shot of the muzzle. So the muzzle is recessed and crowned, and it's got a nice green fiber optic front sight. It looks nice. If you're looking for a revolver, and it's comparatively the same price as a 686. I actually preferred to feel this in my hand to a 686. Both excellent guns. It's just a matter of what you prefer.
It's a nice looking gun. I like the handle on it, but it has a little bit of a funny handle at the back of it. The back part of it. It's
different design because the 686, yeah. The inside of it is hollow, and there's a mm-hmm. side plate for all your lock work. But with the Rugers, what happens, you can pull the entire lock work comes right out. So it's basically, it's one solid unit, but with the 686, they've actually taken away the side, so it doesn't have the same integrity.
Integrity, as
the Ruger does. It's just a bit stronger design. Mm-hmm. But because it's got the coil spring and the setup, they just don't tune as nicely. But these are being really popular with the PPC shooters nowadays. This one, and the Canadianized version, and the Smith & Wesson has a 686 with a 4.1. So a lot of the PPC shooters are going for either this variant or the Smith, because you don't have the Proby class anymore, or the Snubby class. This is as short as you can get. So if you're into revolvers, check it out. It was really nice. Uh-huh. Another one that kind of surprised me is the Burst of Thunder. They've got a competition model out. Now, these are made, wasn't Spain, Argentina is where they're made. And this thing really surprised me, because the last one of these I fired was about 20 years ago, and it didn't impress me. This one did. The fit and finish was very nice. It had double mag release, it had double safeties, and double slide release. It had an external loaded chamber indicator up top. It comes with the Picatinny rail. Trigger wasn't bad. Double action was on par with the CZ. It was a little rough compared to a CZ, but for the price point, I think these things are selling for six and change. But, you know, if you're looking at, I'm not sure if this one is a 4. I was looking at the 9. But it looks very similar to the Ruger SR9. Same polymer front, bottom, full checker on each side. It's got a nice beaver tail on it. It's got the Delta hammer. It has high visibility white sights. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're on a budget, it looks like a nice starting gun for a budget. It's just that I didn't actually fire it. But the one that really impressed me, he's got this new shotgun in there, and it's called the Gagger SAP-6. And it's funny, he's brand new in the box, he's unboxing it, it's covered in oil. And he's Bond's playing with the pump. I said, yeah, I'd like to have a look at that when you're finished. He said, okay. And he came back, and I'm waiting for a while. I said, so you can put the barrel on it so I can look at it? He goes, the barrel is on it.
Yeah, it's a short barrel.
It is just over the legal 660 centimeters, and it really impressed me. It's got a fully adjustable stock, and the back of the stock actually has holes in it, so instead of having a side cattle or side
yeah,
cattle,
you can
actually put rounds in sideways in the back of the stock to give yourself a little bit of weight in the back. It had a nice long pistol grip, a little narrow for my long hands, but I would just put a whole rubber grip on it. And what it is, it's got a full Picatinny rail and a small ghost ring in the front, so you can put whatever optics on it. Trigger wasn't bad at all. What it is, it's very similar to the Cobra Tactical or the, Sean was talking about his Winchester has a speed pump. And what this is once you fire it and it disengages, the pump starts to come back a little bit on its own, and it's spring-loaded. So when you fire it, pump starts to come back, you help with the rest of the way, and then you can just basically let it go, because the pump will close itself. So it's more like a tactical.
Yeah, it's a tactical and magazine fed.
The thing I like about the magazine fed is that it comes with, I believe, 2 6 rounders, but you can buy 11 round magazines for this sucker.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they're, I think they said they retail for $60. And I think the retail price on the gun was $699. So if you're looking for a short trunk gun, this is a far better cry than that little Norinco pump they used to have out. It took a little authority to put the mag in, but it was new. So I can see it, you know, having to wear in a little bit. but it was a nice solid aluminum receiver, and it looked like the magwell is a separate aluminum piece underneath. So it looked interesting. I wouldn't mind taking it out to the range. I'm sure it's gonna. It was light. It was fairly light.
Well, it's a polymer.
Yeah,
it's all polymers.
All back end polymer, but it's an adjustable stock similar to an AR. And I think it had 6-position stock. So folded, it's just non-restricted. It's just the legal limit. But on the full extension, it fit me well. It was comfortable to shoot. So I can see putting a red dot or just leaving the sights that are on it. I don't know about competition. I didn't look to see what the choke constriction was. But with, I don't know, with 11-inch barrel, I guess if you got it threaded and put a tighter choke on it, it would work well for competition. We wouldn't have to worry about reloads if you got 11-round magazines on it.
No, you wouldn't. Nope.
But the fit and finish was very nice, so I can see it being a hit. They still had some SIGs left after their SIG sale, but Fred was saying that the SIG sale was a big success. There's a little empty space on the shelf where the SIGs are, but they still have quite a few in there. So all in all, I think it's worth a trip if you're looking for a SIG. This place is more of I guess they're all Leipzig shooters. So they've got a lot of gear in there for competition shooting. They've got the belts, the holsters, they've got the metric targets. They've got some really nice high-end. They've got some nice 10 Foglios. They had some really nice 1911s. Sorry, Trevor. Actually, the one that I kind of liked is it took all my willpower not to buy it, too.
Sure it did.
They have the STI Spartan. I have one in 45. Oh, okay. They have the STI Spartan in 9mm with fiber optic front sights, adjustable rear sights, 9mm. I want one. And I think it was 8.5. It was very reasonably priced.
Okay. How much do you mean reasonably priced?
$850.
Okay. That's not bad.
Well, the STI, with the Spartan, what it is the frame and the slide and the barrel are made by Armcor down in the Philippines. And as I said, I've got the 45 model, and it is extremely accurate. But the fire control system is STI. So you get, you know, more of a bargain value gun, but you get a great trigger system in it. And my STI, that when I bought it from Williams, I bought a box of Wolf 200 grain semi-wad cutters, lead bullets. I went to the range. I benched it. First three shots, same hole, not the X out of the 10 ring, without even having to adjust the sights. So accuracy-wise, they're a great deal. They're not as pretty. Like, you know, that you're not going to get the fit and finish that you would for, say, an STI Trojan. These things tend to be parkerized, and it's just not as pretty, but not everybody. It's half the price of a nice Trojan. So for the money, it's a good deal. I like
that.
So what events do we have coming up this week?
I don't have anything coming up this week. But while I was at the gun store and also at the range as well, I saw that Loyalist Firearms Training, or LTF, is offering the Ultimate Optics Training Course for Rifle Shooting. Corporal Reginald Waltz, he's a retired CAF, has written the Ultimate Optics Guide to Rifle Shooting. It's coming out in bookstores this fall. Actually, so Reg is a really great guy. I did my my PAL and my RPAL with him. He works with Vortex Canada. So he is the leading field advisor in optics in the industry.
So he's an F-class shooter then.
Yes, he is. Really great guy, knows his stuff. But what he's offering is, so the way that Reg is offering a course so that you can learn to use a scope to its maximum potential. So the course entails in-class training and live fire out to 1,000 meters. It's a 3-day course, 3 days of training at Millicon training facility in Minden, Ontario. So I was looking at the looking at the flyer for it and everything. There is no dates on it. So what you have to do is, if you're interested, contact Reg at reg@vortexcanada.net, or you can call him at 613-572-1102. Give him a call or send him an email, and we'll put the information on our website. See when the next course is up and running. I'm sure that if you are interested in F-class shooting, especially, you could probably use this training. So,
excellent.
Yeah. So, do you got anything else for events?
No emails and no iTunes, and I can't think of any events off the top of my head. If you go to the CSSA newsletter page, they have a listing of all the local gun shows that are coming up. Think there was a trap event with the Calgary University, but I think it's finished. That's the only thing I can think of event-wise. Besides that, I drew a blank on events.
Okay. All right. I know that there's a CQB match that's coming up next week. It's the championship next weekend. So, and they've split it into two. They've split in next weekend and then also the weekend of the 3rd and 4th. So that one's taking place up in Petawawa, I believe.
Well, yes. I guess now that we have a range and we have a confirmed date, we can promote the charity shoot.
We should probably do that.
Yeah.
So, well, Kevin announced it last week when he was on the show. Was it last week he was on the show or the week before?
When I was on holidays. Oh, and 2 weeks ago, I guess.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, because I thanked him when he came back.
Right. So, because of the fact that he is a director at the Rockville Range, but also they had their monthly meeting, and he confirmed with them that we will be able to actually use the Brockville Range for the charity shoot. It is going to be taking place on June 25th, 2016. It's a Saturday. We will have stuff happening on the Friday and the Saturday, or sorry, the Sunday as well. So if you're interested, if you want to make the trek, you can come up and see us. Just let us at New Shooter Canada know that you're interested. We'll add you both to the Facebook page about the event itself. We'll send you some information in that as well, things that you'll need. But yeah, so it's going to be next year on the 25th of June.
And Trevor just posted that SummerSlam 10 is actually the weekend before. He just posted now, so everybody's getting the big stuff done a year ahead of time.
Yeah. So originally it was supposed to be the week after that. So if he's doing it the week before, then that's awesome.
Because I think he's got there's SummerSlam, then there's the Ipswich Provincials.
Right.
And then he's got the charity shoot.
Right. So, okay.
Yeah, he did a lot of whining that the charity shoot had to be this weekend because he was busy all those other weekends, and we have to put it that weekend. So he's even got a bedroom confirmed already for next year at the charity shoot. So we'll see Trevor and Christine hopefully next year.
Yes, hopefully. We did actually plan it around the fact that try and do it the same weekend as he's been doing it, so that the guys from Slamfire can hopefully come. And we're hoping that everybody can come, both Matthew and Trevor and Owen as well, if he's able to make it.
Well, all the guys, because they all shoot it. So like Luke and Filthy and Fred. And so they're all going to be busy. So we put the charity shoot at that location so all our friends from the East Coast can come out and join us too.
That's exactly right. Yep. On that. And also whoever Slamfire's new host is going to be, maybe they can join us as well.
It's supposed to be announced this week.
I know, I heard.
Did you listen to the Scrolls episode?
No, not yet.
Owen is the co-host on Armed Scrolls Project this week.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
I just downloaded it. I was quite surprised to hear, what did they used to call him? I think it was Craig started calling it. The Leaper?
What?
Yeah, he had some bizarre and kind of insulting name for Owen, but it's definitely a prepper show.
Well, that's not very nice.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
I guess that's what we do in this, in this. Throw everybody under the bus and give them names.
Or LARPer, the LARPer. He called him LARPer. LARPer.
Oh, okay, LARPer. All right. On that note, do you got any closing comments there, Thomas, who likes to throw people under the bus?
No, I was actually kind of sticking up for him because I didn't like the term LARPer. That was kind of insulting. I think Andrew Craig made up the term for him. So go listen to the Armed Squirrels Project if you want to learn a few tricks about farming and some prepping. It's a really good show this week. Owen is the co-host. I had an interesting conversation with a co-worker because okay. I was reading Shooting Times or Guns and Ammo. And they asked me how many guns that I owned. And I just sort of looked there and smiled. And I said, well, not as many as I want, but more than I need. And what I do nowadays, if somebody starts...
Before you go on, did you tell her how many you own?
No.
Okay. I was just wondering if you were going to tell her. Give her the amount that you tell Terry, or is it the actual amount? See? That's throwing you under the bus. Okay. Sorry, go ahead. She'll
never know. But what I do a lot of times, I ask them if they play golf, because most people do. And it's very popular with the girls these days, that they like to play golf.
Really?
Oh, yeah, okay. All the girls on my street play golf.
Okay.
They all play golf. So, when they ask me how many I own, I sort of ponder the question for a few moments and ask them if they play golf. And I know very little about golf, but what I usually ask them, well, how many sets of clubs have you bought so far? Because some people, they go out and they'll buy the cheap Canadian Tire set, and then once they get into it, they'll buy another set. So are you a casual player, or on your first set of clubs, if you progressed high enough, a higher quality set of clubs? And, and then I ask them, well, how many golf clubs do you need to play the game? Like, how many clubs are in your bag?
Four.
Well,
sorry.
More than four. I just saw Adam come back today, and I think he had at least a dozen clubs in his bag.
Well, you only need four. You need a putter, you need a sand wedge, you need a wood, and you need an iron. Okay, go ahead.
So you play golf too?
No. So go ahead.
But, I just explained to them. I said, well, if you're shooting or if you're hunting, like you see, if I'm hunting goose, I need something with a long barrel and a long choke so I can do a long range shot. If I'm shooting up close, I need something with a little bit shorter barrel, a little bit lighter barrel so I can do the close shots. And I said, if I'm just plinking and bringing somebody to the range, I put them on a small 22. If they're competing, I have a nicer 22 for competition. And I just explain what each gun and what I use it for. For example, if I want to go deer hunting, I've got my 270. I've got to do a really, really far shot. But if I got a closer shot and I'm just using putting, I said, I've got my 30-30. And I just explained that each individual firearm that I own is set for a specific purpose. I don't have it just because I want the gun. The gun fits a need in my collection, whether it be a pistol or whether it'll be a revolver or rifle or a shotgun. So that's what I do. I just compare their golf game to my shooting game, and usually they sit back and like, oh, okay. So she understood it afterwards. Why do you need so many? Well, she had two sets of clubs, and she's got 8 or 9 clubs in each bag. So okay. I just rationalized my sport to her game.
So what happens if they don't play golf?
It doesn't hold water.
And then you got these people saying, well, yeah, you could actually get, one of those combo guns. You can change the barrels and everything. So you only need one gun. You don't need two. And then you got, never mind. See? I'm shooting barrel or holes in your, anyways.
You're not helping me. They don't know that. Most people don't know that you can get a 3-barrel set from Mossberg. They just think a gun is a gun. Mm-hmm. They don't know that you get interchangeable Seiko rifles with 3 or 4 different barrels and stuff. Mm-hmm. They just think that you need one gun. If you're hunting birds, you need a shotgun. If you're hunting big game, you need a bigger gun. If you're doing small game environments, you need a smaller caliber gun. If you're taking a younger person or a small stature person, you need a smaller gun. Me being so tall, I said, I need a taller gun.
Taller gun?
Longer gun. I used to have one of those. I used to have one of those Marlin goose guns. I think Owen has one. And it's got like this freaking 36-inch barrel on this thing. I bought it when I was about 15 or 16. And I don't think I ever actually hunted with it. It is the biggest shotgun you've ever seen in your life.
Long barrel.
But it looks cool.
Yeah.
It looks cool.
Well, now you need one of those little short barrel tactical rifles that you were talking about. What was it again? It was the...
Oh, God. I gotta scroll up because I don't remember the name.
I know.
It was a Gagger SAP-6.
Gagger SAP-6. Gagger or Gagger? I don't know.
It looks cool.
I'm sure that somebody will correct us.
Well, it looks cool. I'm not sure how it would be for IPSC, but if you've got 11-round capacity, but I'm not sure what the rules are for magazines for IPSC guns.
Well, IPSC rules are very, very rigid, right? So, I don't know. Maybe Trevor can help us out. Do you know that we've named how many podcasts we named tonight? Modern Rifleman Radio, Squirrels, Slamfire a couple times.
Yeah.
So we're cross-promoting here. Polite Society. Oh, we'll throw that one in there.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned it yet tonight.
Yeah, so.
I like Sue. She always likes my Facebook posts.
Yep.
Geeks and Gadgets.
Yep, Geeks and Gadgets.
I've been listening to those guys a lot lately.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully they'll be able to come up to the podcasters charity shoot. They're on the cards.
Yes, they are. I wonder where they're located.
I don't know. I have no idea.
I started listening to their website because it's one of the links they have on the squirrels.
Yep. And then we got Chaz.
We never talked about Chaz.
Well, I just mentioned him. Okay. So, you got anything else that you want to talk about in regards to golf?
No, nothing from golf. But I like to throw out another Colonel Cooper quote. That's what I've been doing lately.
Okay, well, I got a closing comment.
Okay.
Before we get to Colonel Cooper. In my closing comments, I want to talk about being prepared. Be prepared when you go to the border. If you're taking firearms. When we went across, we were going down to... Every state is different. So we were concerned about going down to Ohio, and we were going through New York. New York has pretty stringent gun laws. They're one of the toughest in the U.S.
Yes, Safe Firearms Act.
Yeah, so when we went down, we went down with a folder with everything in it. It was prepared. We were prepared ahead of time. So when we went to the American side, when we went down...
Who was prepared, you or Kevin?
Okay, it was Kevin.
Okay.
Yeah. So Kevin is uber prepared with all this stuff. We show up at the border. There was no wait to get there. The officer was very friendly. He asked what we were doing, what we were coming for, how long we would be there. He asked what firearms we had. We gave him the folder, and he went through the folder, and he said, 6R, nice choice. And then he was talking about his Glock 17, or sorry, his Glock 19, and we were saying that we're not allowed it, and we were talking about that. He said, okay. He said, thank you very much, and, you know, have a good day, and he said, enjoy your shooting, which was awesome. Now, coming back, we were expecting a little bit of issues, and we didn't have any at all. It was actually less time. I think it was like 15 seconds at the Canadian side when we came back. Again, we had this prepared. We had everything ahead of time ready for him. But that's the biggest thing. When you're crossing the border, know what the rules are for the state that you're going into. Be prepared ahead of time. Have everything ready. Your ATTs, which we don't really need anymore. but have everything. I'm just saying, be prepared.
They like it when you hand them everything so they don't have to ask for anything.
Right.
Because when we went to Michigan, I had everything in a little folder, not as prepared and made into a book like Kevin did. But I had everything in a folder and said, there you go. And they were more interested in what an appleseed was. They had no idea what it was.
Yeah.
But you got to remember, too, that each state has different transportation requirements, too. So yep. it's a good point that Kelly put out, that if whatever state you're going through, read out what mm-hmm. the transportation, because some they have to have trigger locks, some they have to be locked in the trunk. It's yada, yada, yada. The last thing you want to do is get nailed for improper transportation and have to... The federal well, the, attention.
Right. The rifles that we were bringing down were not allowed in New York State. So for us, we actually were not able to stop in New York. The only thing that we were allowed to do basically was to get gas and continue on our merry way.
No, did Kevin bring his ACR or his AR?
Yep. He brought his ACR.
Okay.
There's pictures. Didn't you see them?
Well, you can't bring an AR into the state, am I correct? Because it's got the pistol grip. But they allowed...
He brought the AR last time.
So they allow you to transport, but you're allowed to take it through the state, but you're just not allowed to stop along the way, okay?
No, we're not allowed to stop overnight and you know... We had to keep going, so we stopped for gas, and we stopped to eat when we got our gas as well. Other than that, it's, you know, moving along.
Good, good, good suggestion.
Yep, so be prepared, like Boy Scouts. All right, so Colonel Cooper, quote of the week.
Quote of the week from Colonel Cooper. I've been reading a lot of his quotes, so I'm going to try to include a Cooper quote in every show if I can until George Mick tells me I have to stop. The police cannot protect a citizen at this stage of our development, and they cannot even protect themselves in many cases. It is up to the private citizen to protect himself and his family. This is not only acceptable, but it is mandatory. By Jeff Cooper. Shoutouts.
Okay, are we not allowed to talk about this at all?
No, it's just a quote. The guy's dead. How can we discuss this dead guy's quote?
We're still able to discuss it. You know, it doesn't matter if he's dead or not.
I like.
Maybe it does matter. How did he die? Is it protecting himself and his home?
He died a ripe old age of natural causes.
There you go. I looked him up. All right. It's up to the private citizen to protect himself and his family, and this is not only acceptable but mandatory. Okay. All right.
You can't rely on the state or the police to protect yourself. You have to be able to at least protect yourself on your own.
Well, yeah, there's laws that are supposed to, you know, protect you there.
There are laws to protect us, but law enforcement can always be there. So it's mandatory
that
you should be able to protect yourself.
And this is something that we should have covered on the show with Ian Thompson.
You know, well, that's why I put it in there, because Ian Thompson was supposed to be on the show. But
maybe you should have came up with a different quote.
That's why I left it in there, because I was reading through a bunch of his quotes. I like this one. I'll put it in there for Ian, and then I screwed up and we don't have Ian tonight.
You didn't screw up.
Skype screwed up.
Well, yeah, we had technical difficulties. Anyways, but at least we got a show tonight. I was able to come on.
It's too bad that George had to work so late, though. He does a late crew, so sometimes...
He's MIA.
It's better for him on a Sunday. Mondays are kind of tough on him because he's got to work. Okay. So.
I think we should put an edit point in there. What do you think? Holy geez.
Well, we didn't say that he was drunk and hungover or something, right?
Okay.
We didn't throw him under the bus or anything. He's actually working tonight, so.
Edit point. Oh, my goodness. All right. Shoutouts.
Shoutouts.
What do you got for me, Thomas?
Tom from the Port Perry Club.
Oh.
He wanted the PPC show. Tom, I'm working on a PPC show for you. I used to – actually, PPC was the first competition that I started to shoot. So actually, that's how I got into PPC, was shooting at the Port Perry Club. My club used to do inter-club matches with PPC, and Randy and John and I used to go up and shoot with Tom Bolander and a bunch of the guys at Port Perry. And actually, Tom's no longer a member there. So I will do a PPC PPC show for you.
That's a lot of P's.
It is. And for those who don't know, PPC stands for Police Pistol Combat. Mm-hmm. It's an old police course of fire that is no longer used by the police, but they opened it up to civilians many, many years ago. So you do get some police officers shoot it as recreation, but the police department don't use it for training anymore. No. And Ian Thompson, I'm sorry.
Yeah. We're sorry. We're sorry that Thomas doesn't have a Skype that's working. Excuse me. Sorry. And that. So, a shout-out for me. I am going to give a huge shout-out to Red Ranch and Cindy. Thank you so much for your hospitality. It was fabulous. Awesome. I enjoyed it.
Did you get the moonshine cherries this year, or just the straight, apple moonshine?
It was apple pie moonshine. It was lovely.
So it was actually apple pie?
No, it's not actually apple pie. It's apple pie moonshine.
So like it's apple made... and cinnamon, like a killer cider?
Yeah, it has, no. It has cinnamon, brown sugar. It tastes like basically apple pie. But it's moonshine.
Okay.
Yeah. So they were fabulous. Loved it. And they're welcome to come to my homestead anytime.
Well, hopefully we see them at the charity shoot.
Yeah, that was something that we were discussing. They might be able to do it.
Excellent.
Just because of the fact that it's a little bit closer than New Brunswick for them. And that beautiful country, by the way. Rolling hills. It's the base. It's the base of the Appalachian Trail. So incredibly beautiful. One of the things that we did while we were down there. So we left on a Thursday night and we drove through the night and got to Ohio on Friday morning, and we were starving, and we decided to stop and get some breakfast / lunch. And we stopped in Bolivar, Ohio.
Excellent.
And so we stopped at this diner, cute little place. It was off the main highway, cute little place, and the owner, she was awesome. Food was incredibly fabulous too. She came over and we asked her if we could pay with Bolivar bucks, and she said sure. So we got a picture of her taking some Bolivar bucks. Yeah.
I hope you left her a real tip, though, not Bolivar bucks as a tip.
No, we paid for the meal in U.S. dollars, and then we gave them some Bolivar bucks too. Oh, after our shoot on Sunday out at the mountain. We went to the pub for lunch, or the tavern.
The bar.
Well, yeah. So Red was telling one of his girls, I think it was Em. He says, we're taking our guests to the tavern. She goes, what's the tavern? Where's that? He goes, the bar. She goes, oh, okay. And he goes, it's classy when you say the tavern.
It's Canadian, eh?
Yeah. Kevin said that once on the weekend, too. Everybody broke down laughing.
He said A?
He said A. And he didn't mean to say it. And that's what made it so funny. So we went to the tavern. And in the tavern, they have $1 bills. And it's signed by different people. And they put it on the back of the bar.
Oh, you didn't.
So everybody signed a Bolivar buck, and it is now in, it's now in Stone Creek, Ohio, in the tavern.
Oh, Filthy's got a lot of mileage off those Bolivar bucks.
Yeah. So it's all over, they're all over Ohio, so they're probably all over everywhere. So, yeah, just thought I'd let... That was a squirrel moment.
It was funny.
Yes, but thank you, Red. Thank you, Cindy. awesome. And of course, Stacy, love seeing you. And that's about it.
That's it.
That's it. That's it, people.
Okay, so I guess it's time to say goodnight.
Oh, okay. Do we really have to?
No, we don't have to. Anything else you want to talk about? You sure you don't want to throw George under the bus?
No. No. I don't want to throw him under the bus.
I threatened to. He said, okay, if you want, but no.
All right.
At a point.
At a point. So, all right.
Until next week. What does George say? Keep your barrels down, rage and smoking.
Yes.
Take your kids shooting.
And keep your shooting classy.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. 45 lever with the
Winchester tag. I like my double barrel. Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at host@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
Trying to take the guns off of us, 'cause I ain't gonna shoot anyone, and no one shoots at me, 'cause I got a gun. I like guns, I like the way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, well hell I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. God made the trees, God made you, well hell he even made me, and he gave me this voice so I could be a singer, so you tell me why I've got a trigger finger. I like guns, I like the way they look, I like the shiny steel and the polished wood. I don't care if they're big or small, they're for sale, well hell I want them all. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns. I like guns, I like guns, I like guns.